Well, as they're being seated, maybe allow me to just say a couple words about, it was a joy 2016 that I was allowed to visit. I was accompanied by my wife at that time, and she would love to be here with you today again. 2016, we came and visited, and been with connected with Daniel over the years, and then have the opportunity to come back. I'm excited for this big step of faith that you're taking. To connect two congregations, become one. I think it's a tremendous symbol of really what heaven's going to be like, and that you're taking these steps. And I'm encouraged by this team. Met with them Friday night, as Daniel said, and again on Saturday. And I want to thank them. This is a big commitment, carving out a Friday night and a Saturday. And there's going to be future gatherings where they're going to sit together and talk. It's a big commitment on their part. But here's what excites me. Is they're using their gift. You know, connecting is much bigger than just Daniel. I've always said, and you look at Scripture, you know, that the spiritual gift is much bigger than a man. Spiritual gift is much bigger than each person on that team, but they're being faithful about their gift. They're being faithful about the gift that God has given them. And the other thing that they're doing is they're building ministry around their giftedness. Many of them had family obligations on Friday night. They had to make special arrangements. Same thing with Saturday. Special arrangements so that they could be together on this team. And they realize that they're being faithful about their gift. They're building ministry around their giftedness. And you know what happens when the church does that? When each one uses their gift faithfully, investing themselves for the sake of the vision, for the sake of honoring Christ, you know what happens? The church is healthy. The church grows. More will see that because why? The ministry is not just Daniel. The ministry is not just your elders. The ministry is not just the great worship and the great choir that we enjoyed up front. The ministry is each one doing their part. It was a privilege to see that Friday. I'm very thankful for those who are willing, and I hope you support them as they are trying to support you as a congregation. And also this evening, I'll be saying the same thing to Emmaus. They are supporting two congregations becoming one. This is a wonderful, healthy step. I always said merger is really just a strategy for church health. It's a strategy for church health. It's to help a church grow. I was a part of a merger back in early 2000 of two church plants that joined together. It was a healthy process. Oh, sure, there are growth pains. And that's actually what I want to speak about today. And as we turn to Matthew chapter 14, I want us to pay attention to and be careful of. Now, there will be growth pains. There will be some storms ahead. So I want us to be ready for that. I actually titled my message, Storm Readiness. Storm readiness. Now, I don't know if you normally use this. It's not a word. Readiness doesn't slide off the tongue real easy. Actually, some of you seated here today might be having even a bit of trouble with my American accent. So excuse me for my American accent. I bet if I stayed here longer, I could pick up a Birmingham accent. Is that possible? I don't know. Is that possible? So for right now, you'll have to help me and listen a little bit harder. I have a bit of a Midwestern accent. I was born in the state of Ohio, and my wife and I moved to the state of Indiana and live about 100 kilometers outside of Chicago. So we have a bit of a Midwestern accent, a bit of a nasal accent. Excuse me for that. Blame it on my parents. Part of it, just a little bit about me, and we'll get into the Matthew passages. I'm part of an organization called Masterwork. My wife and I have been very privileged, really over about the last 10 years, to serve local church pastors internationally. We also work locally and help come alongside business owners and influencers, also young student athletes, to help them live out their faith in their daily walk. That means in their job, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, to help them to be a catalyst for their spiritual growth in the marketplace. And we've seen God do some amazing things. Actually, in 2016, when I was here, I had the opportunity to speak with some of your men and women about it was a theology of work. so that they viewed their workplace as really, this is a place of ministry. This is a place of ministry. And so we've been doing that for about the last 10 years, and our coaching and our teaching has taken us across the globe. We've most recent trip was Lithuania, traveling to Lithuania and Kazakhstan, Central Asia, Nepal. We've been very active in the work in Nepal since 2010. God is doing some amazing things. But here's a message that I want to bring from Matthew 14. Is there's storms on the horizon. There's storms on the horizon. As you consider a church merger, I want to help prepare you. I want you to be ready. There are storms on the horizon. And you might think, oh, but I've just lived through storms. I don't look for storms. I look for sunny weather. That's why I came to Birmingham, sunny weather. It's been blessed with God's grace. And sometimes there are sunny days, and we love those. But I also want to prepare us. There's stormy weather. And you are either before, you're either pre-storm, or you're mid-storm, or you're post-storm. Somewhere there's a storm brewing, and maybe it's just on the horizon, and and you're about ready to enter into that season. Maybe it's a storm for your health. Maybe it's a storm in your family with your children. Maybe it's a storm in your marriage. Maybe it's a storm in the church. Oh, but I don't want us to fear. There is a readiness, there is a preparation that we can have, and I think that's part of why Matthew recorded this story for us. A storm readiness. Turn, if you have a Bible there, chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14. No, just a little side note here. My wife and I, we actually just went through a storm ourselves. In April this year, we've been very active. I love, Daniel knows this, I love fitness. It helps actually me be a better pastor, be a better teacher, be better prepared for the work of the ministry. I love fitness, and so active in cycling and active in running community, and the same thing with my wife. My wife, who when I first met her, she was a very active runner with her father, and then children came along, and life kind of slowed down. She had to be kind of creative, and then within the last couple of years, she picked running back up again. But you know what happened in February, March of this year? Unfortunately, she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, ovarian cancer, and has right now she would be with us, but she's undergoing chemotherapy. And then, wouldn't you know it, in April of 22, actually it was on Easter morning, decided to go to the hospital and get those checked out, and then the next day I was emergency triple bypass surgery. So, that I'm here today, I'm telling you, God has carried me through a storm, and I found tremendous strength from Matthew chapter 14. So I'm giving testimony today, and perhaps many of you could as well. You've been through those health emergencies. You've been through those family situations, or it's looming on the horizon. Let's look at the passage. Matthew chapter 14. And I'd like to begin at actually verse 22, storm readiness. Storm readiness. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself. Oh, I love this. I love how the Matthew begins to, and through the Spirit of God, begin to lay out for us how we can be prepared. And the first thing I'd have to really just say is, you know, Jesus is very, very present. I want to remind us of that. Before we get into talk about some of the details, I want us to just to remind you that Jesus is very, very present. Prepare yourself for the storm. Lesson number one. Prepare yourself for a storm. Because, you know, sometimes those storms happen after really the greatest of 40 years of health. Sometimes those storms come after the most beautiful time of ministry in the life of the church. Sometimes those storms come after the most precious time of a family holiday together. The first lesson from this passage would remind me to prepare ourselves, stay vigilant, because the storms can occur after the busiest and the most precious time of ministry. Look at the passage. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, and he dismissed the crowd. What had happened? Well, they had just had a very precious time of teaching there on the beach, a most precious time of ministry, and the people had thirsted and wanted to hear more. That was actually the passage I shared with the team on Friday night, is the people were thirsting to hear this great teacher, this great rabbi teach them, and this was a very precious time of learning from him, and isn't it interesting? The storm was brewing on the horizon. Lesson one, prepare yourself. Stay vigilant. The storms often come after even the most precious time in family, the most precious time of ministry, the most successful time in business, when perhaps your stocks have gone up, your investments have gone up very comfortably, and you're thankful for that. Be careful. Be vigilant. The storms can come. You know, the disciples had faced many storms in the past, and it's so interesting that the emphasis of Scripture, and a lot of times these storm occasions were written about, I think, to remind us to expect them. Remember the occasion, Mark chapter 9. It was when the disciples, actually Peter, James, and John, and they had gone up into the mount. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration, where they were with Jesus, and they had this tremendous display of the glory of Christ. Christ was glorified, and you remember that Peter was up. Oh, Lord, what should we do? Let's build these tents, these shelters. Let's enjoy this for a long time. You remember that occasion? And then what was the very next story after that? Remember, they came down from the mountain, and the other disciples were there, and they were trying to help this father and son, and the son kept on throwing himself into the fire, and they questioned, Lord, how we prayed and nothing happened, and what can we do? Nothing was effective. And he said, oh, this kind does not come out except for by prayer and fasting. Tremendous success followed by a storm of failure and lessons. Prepare yourselves. Lesson number one, prepare yourselves. Stay vigilant. Storms do occur, and sometimes they can happen after the busiest, most successful times of ministry. Oh, and I have to say to those who are here today from the merger team, prepare yourselves. It's a difficult task you've taken on, a good task. But when we can be ready and not surprised when the difficulties come. And I hope the entire congregation will stand with them as they prepare to serve you. Help them, stand with them, intercede for them. Here's a second lesson from this passage. Verse 23, and after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountain by himself and prayed. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against them. Actually, I think it's in Mark chapter 6, verse 47, that it says, and the disciples were straining at the oars. I love sometimes when you study, it's called the harmony of the Gospels. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think the Scriptures are rich sometimes when we pull all of those Gospel accounts together. So what we see is the disciples are middle of the water. The disciples are straining at the oar. Here's another lesson about readiness. That is, until Jesus shows up, what do? Well, you don't jump out of the boat and start swimming, right? You don't. No, you keep straining at the oars. You keep straining at the oars. I did a little bit of reading about some of these ancient boats. Actually, they were pretty sturdy boats. They've actually found one, and it was relatively intact. Usually, they were about maybe 8 meters long and maybe about 2.5 meters high, or actually 1.5 meters high, maybe 2.5 meters long, and usually made out of cedar planks, and they were fitted together, mortise and tenon joints, and an ancient nail that pounded together, and they had a flat bottom, and that way they were able to troll closer to the shore. But they were pretty sturdy vessels for fishing, adequate even to handle the storm. And you know what else? So are you. Adequate to handle the storm. See, one of the things I learned about rowing, and I actually learned this on a rubber raft. We were actually going down a river, and our guide in the back of the boat, he said, whatever you do, keep your paddle in the water. Keep your paddle in the water. Why? Because that helps you keep your balance. It actually helps you keep your balance. So these disciples, that storm was coming up, and they were straining at the oars. What do you do when the storms come? Lesson number two. Until Jesus shows up, keep rowing. Don't quit. Don't quit. Some of you that perhaps enjoyed sports in your athletic years, good coaches, that's what they tell you. Don't quit. I don't care if you're feeling tired. Don't quit. You, the striker, no, don't quit. I know we're behind a point or two, but don't quit. Keep straining at the oars. You know what I have to say to the merger team? You want to say to two congregations that are joining together, the storm's coming. It's going to get hard, but don't quit until Jesus shows up, and he will show up. We'll see this later in the passage. He will show up, but until he shows up, keep rowing. Keep working, keep serving, keep praying, keep studying the scripture, keep worshiping. And yes, it's going to feel like straining the oars. I'll tell you what, I would not wish a triple bypass surgery on any of my enemies. It was a rough comeback through that. I couldn't even get out of bed on my own. There was a lot of other things I couldn't do on my own either. It took a while, and it took a lot of work. Keep straining at the oars until Jesus comes back. Keep pulling at the oars. He will show up. I was reminded of a lot of scriptures, and maybe you could add to this list as well, but that the scriptures that talk about straining and persevering, I think of Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. What's that sound like? It sounds like straining at the oars. Keep going. Don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we what? Don't give up. Keep straining at the oars. Lesson number two. Keep straining at the oars. Keep pulling at the oars until Jesus shows up. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. When once he has stood that test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised for those who love him. Sounds like lesson number two, right out of this passage, right out of this story. Keep straining at the oars. Keep pulling until Jesus shows up. And he will show up. I want to assure you of that. He will show up. Revelation chapter 2. There's several good ones in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And he was writing to the church at Smyrna. And he said, be faithful even to the point of death. Whoa. And I'll give you life as a victor's crown. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, to the church of Philadelphia. Since you have kept my commandments to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the world. What's that sound like? Perseverance. Keep pulling at the oars until Jesus shows up, and he will show up. I'd say to your merger team, I'd say to George Road Baptist Church, keep pulling at the oars. He will show up. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't quit. I am glad the fact that you didn't quit. I'm glad the fact that that April 10th, is that the date when you voted on this? That's a tremendous, I'm glad you didn't quit before that. I'm thankful that you didn't quit. Keep straining at those oars. Keep pulling at the oars. Any other lessons? Absolutely. Let's look at the rest of this passage. Chapter 14, it says, actually verse 25, during the fourth, and of course, let's build a bit of the context here. Says the boat was a considerable distance, and it was being buffeted by the waves. Mark told us that they were straining at the oars because the wind was against us. And then what happened? Verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Whoa, fourth watch of the night. Verse 23 says it was evening time. It's probably about 7, 8 o'clock. And fourth watch of the night would have been what? Between like 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Which is, you know, usually most of us are, unless you work the night shift, you know, you're fast asleep. And because the storm was there, obviously they wouldn't have been able to see any stars or any moon. There would have been no reflection on the water. It would have been pitch black. It would have been perhaps the most difficult and perhaps sometime maybe the most fearful time of the night. But that's when Jesus came. That's when he showed up. He came at the most desperate time for the disciples. You know, sometimes we think, oh, he missed us or we missed him. Remember that song, and maybe you've sung it here, some simple lyrics. It says, this is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me. But you remember the refrain in that song? It says, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Those are powerful lyrics. Desperate. You know, his right time seems to be after we've adjusted ourselves to truly be desperate. He came when the disciples were ultimately desperate. He didn't show up before that. I came across this phrase that, you know, he's the just-in-time God. Just-in-time God. So think of how many times he showed up at just the right time. Remember that? What about Abraham with his son? Took him up on the mountain. Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice going to be? He lays Isaac out on the altar, and he showed up, right? Just to the right time. And that lamb was over in the thicket. Just the right time. Remember with Joseph had been, they had stripped the robe off of Joseph. They had put Joseph, this is in Genesis, they had put him in the pit, and you know, once again, he's the just-in-time God. He came at the perfect time. That caravan happened to be passing by, and what did they do? They sold Joseph to the caravan, and he was taken down to Egypt, and you know the rest of the story. He's the just-in-time God. Think of the children of Israel. When they were taken out of Egypt, when they left out of Egypt, and they were traveling, and they came to the Red Sea, did he not show up again as the just-in-time God? He had Pharaoh and the entire army on one side. They had the Red Sea on the other side, and they were crying out, Moses, what are we going to do? And you know the rest of the story. Just in time, God, he parts the Red Sea. I want us to see that Jesus always shows up at the right time. Yes, we might feel that we're straining at the oars, and that we might think that, well, he's forsaken me. No, he has not. He's waiting for that time, perhaps when we're the most desperate and we're the most needy. Why? Because he wants to get the glory. He doesn't want us to be able to steal any of that glory from him to think that we did it. We didn't part the sea. We didn't time the caravan to go by. And we didn't catch that lamb in the thicket. He did it. He wants ultimately the glory. He's the just-in-time God. Lesson number 3 was, Jesus always shows up at the right time. He came at the fourth watch, and he walked up across the water. But look what happens. This is, it says, the passage says that when they saw him during the fourth watch, verse 25, he went out to them walking on the water, and when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Well, who wouldn't be? They were terrified, and they said, well, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. Now, it's interesting that the Greek language actually had a word for a ghost. It was this appearance, this out of body spirit world. They thought about those kind of things in the Greek culture. They thought about it and they captured it. They had a word for it, and that's actually who they thought that Jesus was. Here's lesson number four, and that's storm readiness. We need to be prepared that sometimes in the midst of the storm, our view of Jesus and who God is can get distorted. It can get distorted, totally appearing as what he is not. The scripture has clearly described who God is. He's benevolent, he's loving, he's gracious, he's steadfast, he's righteous, he's eternal. I mean, we have all those descriptions, but in the storm, it seems like that can become so distorted. It seems like the clouds have come in, and now they were thinking, they were attributing to him the very opposite of who he was. They described him they called him a ghost, and no, he wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus, their great teacher, rabbi. How can we get so turned around in our faith? In our understanding of who Jesus is, how is it that we so quickly turn? Well, this is where storm readiness. Be firm in your foundation. Isn't that a wonderful song? Did you sing that at all? Firm foundation. It's a great old hymn. Oh, if we would be firm, be firm in our faith and what we believe. Be reminded of who Jesus is, and yet in the midst of that storm, they were so quick to forget. They were not quick to forget. They were fearful, the scriptures say, the passage says. Here's a fifth lesson. And I think this is equally, can help us get us ready for whatever lies on the horizon. A fifth lesson. For people of faith, the storms really are God's opportunity for you to rise up. Now, some of you might have already begun to read through the rest of this passage, but let's look at Jesus, verse 27. Jesus immediately said to them, after they thought he was a ghost, he says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." I love that assurance from Jesus. Actually, he's constantly saying that to you if we would just listen. Verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Whoa. Did you catch that? "Tell me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, what's Jesus say to him? "Come." As you prayed through and as you prepared for that decision as two congregations, shall we merge? The sense was, if you pray, as you prayed through that and as you contemplated, you responded to Jesus says, "Come. I want you to do this. This is good. This is a health initiative. This is a step of faith for two wonderful congregations to merge together. This will be a one church witness in a city that's very, very diverse." You're saying, he said, "Come," a step of faith. And what does Peter do? You know the story. And Peter, verse 29, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Whoa. I have never seen anybody walk on water. Well, you know what? Maybe I have. That you're sitting here today, a trophy of God's grace. You responded to his grace. Wow. As an 18-year-old young man that, although raised in the church, I kind of saluted it until I saw the witness of some friends and said, "Lord, if you can do in in me what you did in them. I want that. I can only describe it as he helped me walk on water and gave me a life of faith and a life of fulfillment that I cannot explain in any other way. That you have a merger team that's willing to commit themselves to help and serve the congregation, to work on questions and answers and possibilities and say, you know, we can do this and here's how it would look like and let's do this. And I can say they're ready to walk on water for you. I love the fact that this lesson, storm readiness, is for you to do maybe what you've never done before. Maybe what you never expected before. Me? Be part of a merger team? No way. It was pretty exciting, actually. Daniel mentioned it. There were some people on that team that had never met each other before. Wow. That's powerful. That's exactly what you want. That's what I love, this word connected. Already, that now the team is connecting and now congregations are going to connect. This is exactly what you want. Is it going to take time? Yes, it takes time to get to know each other. And they've started that. Walking on water. They've never done this before. How many of you ever merged with another congregation before? One hand went up. Okay, very good, very good. I think that's fantastic. This is going to be fresh for many of you. This is going to be new for all. You're going to be walking on water, and you're going to look back maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and say, wow, I did it. But storm readiness, I didn't add it as another point, but you've got to be aware of what happens with Peter. And you know the story, right? What happens? He looks around at the storm. And then he begins to sink, verse 30. He cries out, Lord, save me. It's like he forgot the rest of the story. It's like he forgot the fact that Jesus had already walked on water, already showed him how, already came to them and quieted the waters, and he was there very, very present with him. It's like he forgot all that. And he says, you of little faith, why do you doubt? The important lesson, though, I want us to grasp is that for people of faith, storms are God's opportunity for you to rise up and perhaps do what you never expected before. Yes, get out of the boat and walk on the water. And you say, no, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Peter did it, right? Jesus did it. You will do it. Two congregations will do it. And it will be a powerful testimony to the world around you. A powerful testimony. You know, I look at this and I find great refreshment knowing that it wasn't this story alone. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you see many men and women of faith who were known for their faith. They were ready for the storms of life, and some saw the world, what the world would say was successful, and others would admit that they didn't see it on this side of heaven, but they did see it ultimately in heaven. They were rewarded for their faith. And I think as you look ahead, storm readiness, that your faith will be rewarded. And at that point in time, when the Lord Jesus comes back, he will say to George Road Baptist Church, he will say to Emmaus Church, under the umbrella of the Connected Church, he will say, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. Get ready for the storms. They will come. But as we continue pulling at those oars, it's for that great message from him, that affirmation from him. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, your love for us. Thank you that your work is complete in us. And Lord, as we perhaps prepare for these, Lord, the storms that lie ahead, and maybe some are even in the midst, oh God, to find us faithful, not giving up, not quitting, knowing that you are very present and you will show up. And Father, that there would be that reward of having walked on the water, because you enabled us to do that. And then finally, that great word from you, that Father, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. Help us in Christ's name. Amen.